Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, June 3rd, 2015. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Clarkston Pot Shop court date postponed. Moscow and Latah County officials hold initial meeting on reworking area of city impact agreement. Pullman and Whitman County officials reach tax sharing agreement. An autopsy shows blunt force trauma in the Pullman death of Virgil Luden. Well, details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Moscow City Council, county commissioners, and various city and county officials held an informal joint meeting yesterday to discuss changes to the city's area of impact, which surrounds the city on three sides about a mile into the county. State law requires cities and counties to periodically meet jointly to determine area of impact boundaries around cities and set development rules. The last time officials from the two entities finished a full agreement on the area of city impact was 2004. It was updated in 2006 when city zoning and subdivision codes changed. Under the current plan between the county and city of Moscow zoning codes apply for new development within the area of impact, although the county can overrule city rules in certain cases. State law requires the city and county to negotiate a new plan by December 2016. According to an account of the meeting in the Daily News, Moscow Community Development Director Bill Belknap said the new agreement should take into account the new route the Federal Highway Administration will choose for a four-lane U.S. Highway 95 south of the city. City Councilmember Walter Steed said Latah County officials have in the past expressed a preference for new development adjacent to cities within the county rather than in clusters further out in the county. Mayor Bill Lambert said some residents of the area of city impact north along Polk Street Extension and in the Southeast Sewer District would like to receive city water and sewer services. The next joint meeting between county and city officials on the topic will likely take place next spring. A hearing on a City of Clarkston request for an injunction against the cannabis store Canna for Life, scheduled for today, was postponed until next week. The Clarkston City Council is asking an Assotin County Superior Court judge to stop the store from operating without a city business license. Canna for Life opened last Friday. They already have a Washington recreational cannabis retail license and have a pending lawsuit against the city over the city's moratorium on marijuana businesses within the city limits. Clarkston City Attorney Todd Richardson said in a press release, "The city wishes to place this matter before a fair and impartial court. In the event that the court upholds the license requirement, the city will ask the court to issue an order suspending the business until further court proceedings take place." The Lewiston Tribune reports the city's municipal insurance is covering some of the initial legal costs, but the city will have to pay for the hours of Yakima attorney Ken Harper, who is helping with the injunction request. Attorney Rick Laws of Clarkston will represent Canna for Life in court. Washington State University researchers say they will dump an orange dye in Paradise Creek starting today and running through next week as part of an experiment. The project is researching how far DNA from animal contamination travels downstream. WSU researcher Alex Fremier is asking the public not to be alarmed by the discoloring of the stream. The Coeur d'Alene tribe filed a lawsuit against the state today, calling for the state to enforce a ban on instant racing machines, which operate at Greyhound Park in Post Falls and two other locations in the state. The state legislature passed a repeal of a law that allowed the so-called instant racing machines, but Governor Butch Otter vetoed it. In the lawsuit filed directly to the state Supreme Court, the tribe says Governor Otter's veto of the bill was invalid because it was filed too late after passage. Coeur d'Alene Tribe Attorney Deborah Ferguson wrote in court documents, "The powers defined by the Constitution are an essential part of the checks and balances of our democracy. The governor cannot enlarge his veto power under the Constitution. The Constitution was not created for the benefit of the governor or the legislature. Instead, it was created by our founders to protect the citizens of Idaho and their right to have duly enacted laws enforced. This basic right goes to the heart of our democracy." The tribe says State Attorney General Lawrence Wasden has refused to enforce the ban, which they contend is not in effect. The Nez Perce tribe has hired former Democratic congressional candidate Joe Pacutas to head Nez Perce Tribal Enterprises for the next year and a half. Nez Perce Tribal Enterprises operates the tribe's two casinos at Lewiston and Kamiai, as well as several convenience stores. Pacutas challenged Republican U.S. Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers in Washington's 5th Congressional District race last year and says he plans to run again next year. Pacutas is a Colville Tribe member who has served as CEO of the Colville Tribal Federal Corporation. Nez Perce Tribal Executive Committee Chair Anthony Johnson said in a press release the tribe's businesses are primed for growth and the tribe believes Mr. Pacutas can continue this development. Pacutas was quoted in the press release saying the Nez Perce Tribe is looking into diversifying their economy and there is great opportunity to create more jobs with new businesses on and near the reservation. Together with the team here at the Nez Perce Enterprises, we will be working on improving the local economy and taking advantage of every opportunity to help tribal members improve their education and skills to become entrepreneurs. An autopsy on 58-year-old Virgil C. Luden of Sammamish, Washington, who was found dead in his son's Pullman apartment Saturday, shows he died from blunt force trauma to the head and neck. Medical examiners also said they found evidence of a crushed larynx, which may have contributed to Luden's death as well. Pullman police arrested 24-year-old Eric C. Luden after police and medics responded to the son's apartment on Northeast C Street at about 5 p.m. Saturday. Court records reported in the Daily News say first responders found Virgil Luden unconscious on the floor after Eric Luden called 911 and said his father had attacked him with a knife. Crews performed CPR but failed to resuscitate Luden, who was pronounced dead at the scene. A Pullman police press release says pathologists believe that multiple instruments caused the injuries and that there were numerous incapacitating injuries. According to records presented at Eric Luden's initial hearing in Superior Court Monday, Luden told emergency dispatchers during the 911 call he defended himself by hitting his father with a kitchen pot. The Pullman police press release says investigators believe the victim was struck repeatedly by the suspect's fists and possibly a kitchen pot and table knife, both of which were recovered at the scene. Negotiators with the city of Pullman and Whitman County have agreed on a tax sharing agreement. The agreement will split equally tax dollars generated from new development anywhere around the city limits and east in the county towards the Idaho state line along Highway 270. The Daily News reports the agreement changes the current revenue sharing agreement that provides the county with 1% of the total 7.8% state sales tax. Now the county and city will split the 1% equally. Businesses already in the tax sharing area are exempt from the change for the most part. However, new developments or significant modifications by existing businesses would be included under the new agreement. The agreement also stipulates both entities would set aside 10% of sales tax revenue in the area for infrastructure costs for new water and sewer lines, roads, and other utilities. One area of contention was whether or not windmills would be allowed. Pullman City Supervisor Mark Workman said now is not the time for windmills. Councilmember Al Sorensen, speaking via telephone, disagreed. Sorensen said if the rezone prevents cluster developments, the representatives should discuss windmills. Workman said if he were to push for windmills, it would kill the agreement, and it would be a long time before the sides came back and discussed the agreement again. The state legislature has eased challenges to Idaho's rural mental health patients with telemedicine provider Teladoc because of new legislation that will require Idaho medical licensing boards to develop rules for providing mental health telemedicine to rural residents in the state. Rural residents have been struggling for many years to get mental health care help, mostly because of the great distances between psychiatric service providers in rural areas. Treatment of patients over the phone has been around for a long time, but implementation in a large state like Idaho has been gradual due to physician shortages and bickering over out-of-state licensing. According to the Associated Press, the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare hired Optum Idaho to manage the state's Medicaid non-hospital mental health services. Optum says Idaho had 15 state-sanctioned providers for 1,000 patients accessed through telehealth phone services last year. According to Idaho Behavioral Health Chief Operations Officer Chris Culp, that number is expected to increase. Culp said he's already seen increased patient numbers. He said even drug abusers can get help. Culp said telemedicine removes barriers. He said most families don't have time to drive to the office, sit for 3 hours of appointments, and drive back. When we allow them to stay in their own town, a single mom can be in and out in less than an hour. Boise physician Dr. William Hazel said he has been handling patient phone conferences since 2003. Hazel said he could not have imagined something like phone doctoring in the past. He said, I would never have pictured this in the 1970s, but now it's almost entirely what I do. Jennifer Griffiths said the need is there. Griffiths is the mother of a 7-year-old psychiatric patient. She said she has been using telehealth calls since 2012 when her child was transferred to a full-time psychiatric care center 4 hours away from Grangeville, where psychiatric providers visit once a month. Griffiths said the need is definitely there. We need to be able to have these services available, even if it's not the traditional way. We can't just be stuck. AmeriCorps volunteers will be helping with local fresh food bank Backyard Harvest for several weeks this summer in Moscow. Here is an interview from this past Saturday's Moscow Farmers Market. So we're with Chris with, are you with AmeriCorps?
No, I'm not. I'm with Backyard Harvest. And we are bringing an AmeriCorps National Community Civilian Corps team to the Palouse for about 6 weeks. And they will be doing all kinds of projects with us, from gardening to picking fruit. And then with PCI, they will be doing wildlife restoration, stream restoration, removal of invasive species and such. So this group of 9 members will be here as guests, helping out in the Palouse for 6 weeks, starting the beginning of June.
Okay, and are there any particular streams that they want to restore?
You know, PCI will have that answer. I wouldn't have that. Backyard Harvest will have gardens all over the area. They'll be doing some in Moscow, some in Pullman. But they will be here at the market on the 6th from 8 a.m. to noon, trying to meet the public, and we'll be seeing if we can round up some public support. So,
and this is sort of an educational thing.
Not really. They're here to help out the region with a lot of work being done, a lot of things that we could use all the help with. So they're here to help. This is their fourth place stop. So they've been all over the West Coast, and now they're coming to the Palouse, and they will be helping out our community. So come on by and meet them.
How big is the team?
It's 9 members.
Oh, right. You mentioned that. Okay. And how long they're here for?
They're here from June 3rd until July 13th.
Okay. Well, we'll be stopping by and meeting these folks. And pitch for Backyard Harvest. You're already collecting perishable food for your sort of alternative fresh food bank thing?
Yeah. We distribute to all the area food banks, all the ones in Moscow Pullman and some of the further... more rural places a little less regularly, but people can donate their produce to us, backyardharvest.org. Look us up and give us an email, and if they have fruit trees that are going, the fruit's going to waste, give us a email, let us know, and we'll come pick it.
Volunteers come to your home and pick the extra fruit. Very good.
Yes.
And pick the fruit off the ground too if it falls.
Sometimes. Depends.
Yeah, depends.
Yes.
Depends.
Okay. Yes.
Well, thank you very much, Chris.
Yeah. Thank you, Lee.
All right. Have a good day. That interview was recorded at this past Saturday's Farmers Market in Moscow. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, a 20% chance of showers before midnight tonight, otherwise mostly cloudy, low 45, mostly sunny tomorrow, high 71. As a matter of fact, mostly sunny all the way through Monday, with highs of 78 Friday, 84 Saturday, 88 on Sunday, and 90 on Monday. Nighttime lows will be around 50 degrees. Will be partly cloudy Thursday night and Friday night, and mostly clear Saturday night and Sunday night. Currently, we have fair skies, 64 degrees in Moscow. Thank you for tuning in to the KRFB Evening Report. Coming up next is the weekly news magazine, Building, Between the Lines. That's coming up at 6 o'clock. And at 6:30, we'll have Flashpoints. At 7:30, we'll have This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian News Magazine. And at 8 o'clock, music, live in the studios with Catherine Bonzo, World Waves. Grateful Dead Through the Decades at 9:30. And Bob Slacktime Funhouse comes up at 11. Scooters the Inner Side at 12. Kaput Radio at 12:30. And the new time for Subgenius Hour of Slack, 1 a.m. tonight. All here at KRFP Moscow. Music, entertainment, and information all at your community radio station, KRFP Moscow Pullman. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online. And remember, you can hear all archived versions of the KRFP Evening Report at the KRFP website.